What is going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Masculine Health Solutions Podcast, where we talk about everything related to men's health, physical health, spiritual development, and of course, PE, penis enlargement, male enhancement. We talk about it all. And I'm your host, CJ Rodriguez, fat loss coach, specialist, baby. That's what I do and what I love to do. But on today's podcast, we talk about one of the most, well, one of the things that every guy, you know, likes to talk about a lot. And for some reason, we think it's taboo. And this dude right here is at the forefront of breaking those taboo chains and really bringing it out to the mainstream, talking about it and living his truth. And after 100 days straight of doing PE consistently, Daniel Gray is a testament to what's possible, what can be done, and the gains in that amount of time. You guys DM me all the time and ask me, man, how long is it going to take for me to make gains? Well, if you do a workout consistently in the same way that Daniel has made them, I'm pretty sure you'll make gains. However, most people don't. Most people don't have the structure. Most people don't know the different tools that they can use. However, in Daniel's case, he showcases exactly how to use them. He's been consistent and he's made the time to actually go out and pursue his dream. And this is his truth, man. And this is honestly, like, I've been gushing over the fact that, like, yo, he's just killing it. He's inspiring me. And like I said for myself, like, when I get in competition mode and when I gotta, you know, I get busy at work, you know, I'm not gonna lie, I sometimes get inconsistent in my PE gains, and that's just with my maintenance, bro. But this guy is killing it. Two workouts a day, putting in the time hanging, putting the time like pumping, jelking, the whole nine, man. Like, he's just going after it and he's making gains. Again, you guys have to check out his Twitter, Jelic to Gain. Check it out. Check out his website and be sure that, you know, if you're just getting started in PE, you want to like learn more, be sure to check out his website. He's got tons of awesome resources there. If you want, you know, to join his group too, you can join his WhatsApp group. And he has a full community of guys. And, you know, honestly, I am super proud of him because I think, you know what, he's really leading the charge when it comes to PE. And more than anything, not just talking about it, like, he's a dude that I admire, man. The work ethic, the time spent, the investment, creating one of the greatest products on the market for PE. And honestly, the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the pudding. So without any further ado, I'm going to just let us jump into today's episode, which honestly is an absolute barn burner. Had an absolute blast. And I can't wait to talk to him again when we get to about 200 days, right? Because right now is about 108 days straight. Be sure to check with the Twitter, man. All the links are in the description. Let's go. What is going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Mask and Health Solutions Podcast, where I am joined by Daniel Gray, who's doing all kinds of wonderful things in his PE journey. And honestly, I had to cut him off because I'm like, hey, listen, man, these are too many gold nuggets that, you know, we're talking about off air, which are things that everybody kind of goes through. But again, we were just talking about Daniel's journey. And if you don't know, he's already been on the show twice before and his PE journey is fucking legendary. So I hope you guys really enjoy this episode. But first and foremost, Daniel, how are you today, man?
Yeah, I'm really good. Life's going good, all aspects. So yeah, I can't complain. The journey's going really well. I'm at just over 100 days now. The challenge, I'm wanting that to last for 400 days, which is, I know, very, very optimistic, trying to do PE twice a day. Mm-hmm. But so far, I've managed it, and we'll see how the next 293 days go.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, I've already seen your gains. I mean, what was it, like half an inch already in the cylinder that you've already creeped up?
In the pump at 5 hg or negative 5 hg, inches of mercury, it's three eighths of an inch. Yeah, and that is in the pump. So those gains converted to real life gains, for example, non bone press erect length would be around half of that.
So a little under a quarter of an inch. But the thing is, it's kind of like, and we were just talking about that off air too, it's kind of like, for me, the biggest thing about what you're doing is the consistency, man. But like you mentioned off air, you know, life kind of gets in the way. And I want to explore that concept a little bit more about how, you know, when you're going for a degree, when you're going for anything in life, how you don't necessarily just do it 24/7 or twice a day. What does it kind of look like for you when it's like, you know, you got to put it off sometimes, got to jump back into it? Like, what does that PE rhythm kind of look like?
Yeah, it's difficult. It's the hardest thing that I've done. Like we were saying off air about, I've done a degree in electrical engineering. A lot of people may look at that and go, oh well, you've got the dedication, you've got the motivation, but it's not something that you're doing every day. Even the gym, it's not something that you're doing every day. Whereas this is twice a day, every day. You know, getting up early in the mornings, doing it before you go to bed. So I split my routine into two sessions, and it's one of those things that you've got to do for yourself. And I've spent a lot of time, probably sort of mid 2022. I got off the PE journey. I didn't do any PE for over a year because life got in the way, and you're working to achieve this, that, and the other. And you can let go of your own goals. And I think that's a lot of men are actually as demonized as we are. a lot of men are selfless, selfless individuals, and they're all about helping others, helping the family, doing what's right, and that is how most men operate. And this year, I've said, right, I'm gonna work on myself, and I'm gonna complete my journey once and for all, and do the 400 days of PE. And I think
I think it's spectacular.
400 in total. I think it's important for you to spend time on yourself, self care, getting yourself in that right headspace, because generally all round, you're a better person for everybody interacting with you. When you're in the best possible shape of your life, headspace, you're a better person for all involved. So I think it's really important you don't let yourself go, and you do put that time aside to concentrate on yourself. And one thing I've noticed is, and one thing I've come to grips with is that if you want to do that, there's only 24 hours in a day, and you've got responsibilities. Most men have got responsibilities.
Yeah.
So you've got to find that time. And the way I find that time is I sleep less, you know, so I'm at 6.5-7 hours sleep per night. And, you know, most people can cope with that. And if that means that you get to do your routines that make you feel better, you can go to the gym, you can do your PE exercises, you can do your I mean, for me, anti-aging, I want to live my best life for as long as possible. You know, I'm not particularly bothered about living to 120 years old, but I am interested in that period, definitely my working life being my best years. I don't want to fall off the edge of a cliff at the age of sort of like 65-70 when it's retirement time. You know, you've got all this free time now, but your body's ruined because you haven't really looked after it. Yeah. So I think it's preservation. I think it's really important.
100%, man. And to your point earlier, like, I firmly believe in that too. And that usually, you know, as men, we're just kind of putting everything off to make sure everybody else is happy. You know, everybody else is taken care of, you know, and it's like, I'll do whatever they need or want from me. But sometimes when it comes to our own personal goals, it's like, yeah, you know, I'll just keep, you know, I'll do that later, you know, and kick that can down the road. And then you look at it, you're like, oh man, it's been 4 years, you know? So it's kind of why I think it's important that we always have these challenges and always find a way that we can always better ourselves. Cause I mean, I think you're right. In making yourself the best possible version of yourself, it then affects everybody around you positively. But what brought upon this challenge? I mean, after, because I mean, you told me you had a lot of things going on in 2023 where it's pretty much a write-off. Did you just decide to come back with a vengeance? What inspired you? What sparked all, you know, this challenge?
So in 2021, mid 2021, I designed the Jeltgain vacuum hanger, which has been an absolute success. We've spoken about this before. It's the most comfortable hanger. When applied properly, it's absolutely amazing. The fatigue you get off it. I started doing this hanging with fire, which is far infrared radiation. So it's like a USB heat mat, but it's a far infrared radiation wavelength, which penetrates into the cells, and you get better heating throughout the penis rather than just surface. And when I did, when I was doing this routine with the hanger, I was getting really, really good gains, length gains. Month on month, I was making, I was doing a bone bone press flaccid stretch length measurement. I was gaining every month. It was on my Twitter. I was doing really well. And then life got in the way. Like I said, everything kind of went to shit. And I had to take some time off, but it was in my head that I had to finish that journey. And my original goal was to get 7.5 inches non-bone press direct length. And that was a tool that was going to get me there. That, a load of consistency and dedication, was going to get me to that length goal. So it's a goal that I've always had, that I've never wanted to let go of. And, you know, I've got to finish what I started. So in 2023, moved house, we've done a lot of building work. A lot of my time was taken up, but I said back end of 2023, I'll recondition, which happened to be, the start of the 100 day challenge, sort of midway through November. Started the conditioning process then, and then said, right, I'll do it till the end of 2024, and, you know, into the beginning of 2025. And if I can achieve, let's say, in the pump at 5 HG, if I can achieve 8.5 inches in the pump, that should equate to 7.5 inches non-bone pressed erect length, and I'll have achieved my length goal. I've already achieved my girth goal, which was 6.5 inches.
Yeah.
So now it's just getting the length in there, which is a bit backward, really. It should generally be length before girth. But unfortunately, I was able to gain more in girth. I was an easy gainer on girth and not so easy on length.
Well, you're a lucky guy, man. I wish I was gaining girth like that. I mean, I've been, man. When my wife told me she was all about it, I was like, yeah, man, I'm going to go hard. And I mean, in that time, I think I only gained like half an inch, but it's cool. You know, like I wish, you know, I gained more. But for me, it was the length that came really easily. And that kind of came with like jellicking. And I mean, just the stretch exercise early on, like the manuals, I think are underrated. A lot of people, you know, I see don't take full advantage of that. And they come and they immediately want to start pumping or do something more hardcore. And I like setting the foundation with the manuals, just because it's kind of like getting yourself conditioned, as you mentioned before. But that kind of leads me into the next thing I really wanted to pick your mind on is, what does your routine look like right now? Because you said you split into twice a day, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's right. I've got it written out in front of me because I anticipated this question. So
yeah, man, I'm like, I want to dig into the science, bro.
All right. So the routine, I'm up at 4:30 in the morning. I get a shower, clean my glands, clean my penis, make sure I'm nice and clean, grease free. That's important when you're applying a hanger, any kind of silicone sleeves. Get into the workshop or the studio that that's a studio that we've built. We did it all ourselves as well. It was a tough summer. It was a tough summer. We couldn't afford builders. So clean and dry the sleeves for the hanger, apply the hanger, and I do the hanging with fire routine, which, like I said, is far infrared radiation. And what that routine consists of is four 15 minute sets. You're under weight throughout the full hour. So it'll be 15 minutes cold hang, so no heat. I do that at 3 pounds. Then I go on to 4 pounds with heat and more weight, and then heat again with more weight up to 5 pounds. And then the final 15 minutes will be 6 pounds, but that's a cold hang. I'm trying to get that up to 8 pounds, the final hang to be 8 pounds. So look like 5, 6, 7, 8 pounds eventually, but the conditioning process is quite a lengthy one. I'm being quite careful up to now because I don't want to get a blister. I don't want to be injured, especially because I'm so far into it. You know, when I was at, I don't know, 50 days, I was like, please don't get a blister. So it's important that I was taping correctly. I was at the right erection quality when I was taping. You tape when you're flaccid, your glands can't grow enough in the hanger. If, you know, when you pull back on the hanger, if you're too erect, then you'll lose size and shrink, and then the tape's not doing its job, being right up against the skin and squeezed out. So there's a lot to think about, to be fair. But while I'm doing that routine, I do arm curls while I'm doing that routine because I'm standing there hanging. So it's like, well, what can I do in this time? You know, rather than waste the time. So I'll do curls. I'll do shrugs. I don't know if you've heard of Jawsercise.
Jawsercise. Oh yeah,
Jawsercise.
Yeah.
What you chew on to get more of a
jaw.
Jawsercise, which is the chewing to chisel your jawline. I apply moisturizer, you know, just again, something else that you can do while you're doing that. All your little routines and fads, if you will, get them done. I apply like a homemade moisturizer. I take my anti-aging research chemicals, 191 amino acid, GHKCU copper peptide, Epitalon. I do all that whilst I've got the hanger on, which makes sense to make the best use of that time.
Mm-hmm.
Once I've finished the routine, I'll apply my all day stretcher instantly. Take the hanger off, get the all day stretcher on. So any fatigue that you've got, any stretching, if you've had a good workout, applying an ADS, I recommend that. It's just it allows you to heal in the elongated state. That's the idea behind an ADS. Usually have that on for 2 to 3 hours.
Nice. Yeah, that makes sense.
Two to three hours, allow that repair process to happen under tension and light tension as well. I don't have it, high tension. It's just a light tension to keep it in position. And that's it. That usually takes me to about 10 o'clock, somewhere around there. Then it's, obviously you can work, you can do what you need to do when you've got the all day stretcher on. Then when it comes to the evening, I do an evening routine. The main reason I do it is a pump and jog session that I do, 30 to 45 minutes. Now, the only reason I do this, back in 2022 when I was proving the hanger, the gel to gain hanger, I had an issue with slipping. After about 4 months, I was starting to slip in the hanger, and I was wondering why. And it turned out I'd started to lose a bit of girth, flaccid girth. And my girlfriend actually commented that my flaccid penis was looking a bit skinnier than it did. I was like, great, thanks. So I thought, right, I'll start to incorporate a jelk session, and it ended up being a pump jelk session. So it's a pretty simple routine. I'll do 5 minutes in the pump, 5 minutes jelking, 5 minutes pump, 5 minutes jelking, 5 minutes pump, 5 minutes jelking. So pump and jelk three times over 5 minutes, and then after that, just apply a cock ring.
Usually
for about an hour, and that's worked really well. I don't get any slipping in the hanger now. So, good routine. My girlfriend gets involved in that routine as well. So
there you go.
it makes it fun. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's awesome, man. Dude, and you're doing this every single day?
Every day. Yeah, I've not missed a day so far.
Gosh.
Even Christmas and Boxing Day, but New Year's Day. I set my sights on that, and I'll give you an example for the difference between discipline and self-discipline. There's a huge difference between the two, and discipline may be that you'll get up to go to work every day. You know, we've all worked 70, 80 hour weeks where, you know, we've worked on the weekend, we've thrown quite a few 12 hour shifts in there as well. And we've done that for somebody else. We've done that for a boss, and we've maybe not happily got up to go to work and do that every day, but we've done it. So when it comes to self-discipline, it's, can you do that for yourself? Can you get up early every day, Monday to Sunday, and get on with what you need to get on with? And try and achieve your dreams. And that's the difference between discipline and self-discipline. It's very, very difficult thing to do, which sounds backwards, really, doesn't it? It's harder to do for yourself than it is to do for somebody else.
Yeah.
But Unfortunately, that's where man's mind work it works in my belief and experience is that they're willing to do for others, go to work, earn the money to give the loved ones a good life. And when it comes to themselves, they put themselves on the back bench, they're on the back burner, and you know, that's why I say it's important that I get this done. It's kind of a now or never. I don't want to leave it and regret when I'm 60, 70 years old that that I wasn't disciplined enough to fulfill my own dreams.
Yeah. And I mean, to your point too, it's kind of like that philosophical approach, I think, is it's very interesting because I've had those thoughts a lot recently too. It's like, you know, when I was getting ready for my competition, I'm just like, you know, it's a lot of hard work. And then I thought to myself, I'm like, bruh, I'm going to go work 10 hours doing some shit that I absolutely hate for somebody else to make sure that, you know, his company is thriving or whatever. And obviously, yeah, you get a paycheck, but at the same time, it's kind of like that's just to make sure everybody's taken care of. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, you don't really have that passion at all for that. Yet at the same time, you know that you have to get it done, right? Whereas when you're doing it for yourself, it's almost like it's completely different, right? And that self-discipline, I think, is what really makes the difference, because now you're starting to realize that, hey, you know what? If I want to achieve these goals, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I just have to do them. And it's almost like you have to have that task list out. You have to have your own schedule, and you just have to manage yourself better, I guess.
Yeah, 100%. One thing I found is having a, you know, when you're asleep and you wake up in the morning, you feel groggy and you've got to get out of bed. And you've not got a boss telling you to get out of bed because you're going to get sacked, so you need to earn some money to pay the bills. You're telling yourself to get out of bed, and you're your own boss at that point, so you don't have to. You can tell yourself to get lost. I'm not getting up. So having a phrase, something that you say to yourself, something that pricks your conscience, something that gets you up. Mm-hmm. You've got to have a phrase, something that strikes a chord somewhere. And mine is, and it's not actually my phrase, it's something that I heard, that I picked up. And it was about success. Let me see if I can think what it is. Oh, that's the one. It's success is never owned, and the rent is due every day.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, you know, I've known a lot of people become successful and then not do as much work or take a bit of a rest, take a bit of a break, and the rug swept from under the feet. It's true. If you want to be successful, the rent's due every day. And that's what I tell myself every morning when that alarm goes off and I do not want to get up. I just say the rent's due. The rent is due. And then you want the success, you've got to be prepared to pay the price.
And that's just it. It's kind of like, if you don't, you'll fall into that trap. And that's the biggest trap, I think, and that it's like, well, you know, technically nobody's going to be any the wiser if I don't or if I do. But, you know, deep down, it's kind of like those goals you set out to do, you're not going to do them, you know, and everything just kind of falls off completely and everything gets derailed. And that's kind of where, you know, it's so important to have that self-discipline, just constantly just, you know, make sure that you're on task and you have that. And it's interesting you mentioned that's kind of like your anchor to get started. But what are some other things that really motivate you to keep this journey going? Because I'm like 100 days straight, that's no joke, man. Like, but 400 days, like, you know, at this juncture of your journey, like, what is it that now motivates you? Because I guess it's kind of different as you go. Is it more like the success you're seeing? Like, what really motivates you to keep going now?
Well, I don't want to let people down as well. You know, I have got to that stage where I've got quite a good following. I've got people rooting for me, regulars that are constantly rooting, constantly commenting, messaging me, and I don't want to let them down. I want people to see. I want to show people that it can be done. You mm-hmm. put your mind to it, it can be done. And I'm at that point now where it's more, I don't want to fail.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to fail others as well, because it's not just myself I'm failing. And at the end of those 400 days, if I prove and do what I've set out to do, how many people is that going to inspire?
Mm-hmm.
How many people is that going to make, even if it's not a penis enlargement goal, if it's a personal goal, it might be going to the gym, it might be starting a certain diet plan, eating whole foods rather than processed foods. You know, it might spark someone to start their own journey in whatever that may be and stay dedicated, motivated, and disciplined.
Yeah, 100%. Because it could translate into any aspect of life, but I really do feel like that self-improvement part, like that just, it factors in, or you can use it as inspiration for any aspect of life, which is 100% true. But for me, it's kind of like, I've never seen anybody do what you're doing and showcase PE in real time. And for anybody listening, be sure to check out Jelic to Gain at Twitter. Be sure to check it out, or you could join the Jelic to Gain WhatsApp group as well. You know, I don't know if you got Discord or anything else, but I'm going to plug it in right now so people can actually watch it. And legit, real time, I'm like, holy shit, Daniel does not miss. It's like every single day, you know, every single day you're posting, the social proof is up, you know, the pictures are there, the videos are there. So people can even like, you know, follow along, where it's kind of, it's almost like a tutorial, I think, too, which is what makes it so interesting and so captivating. And it's like, and you're seeing the growth in real time, which for me is just honestly mind blasting, because I don't think anybody else in PE has really done it the way that you have. Like, I have seen certain forums, right, where they're doing like, where some guys will post like their logs and stuff, but it's not in depth to the way that you're doing, which is why I'm like, holy cow, like, you know, you're really going after it this year, right? And I commend you for it. Like I said before, because I'm like, you know, it's not just the workout, it's just like taking the time to showcase it and show everybody, which I think, you know, man, it's honestly pretty spectacular to see. But the other thing I wanted to ask you about too is progressive overload. What does that kind of look like for you? And how do you then say like, okay, you know what? Because I imagine like the second workout is more, like you said before, that one's just maintenance anyways. So that's kind of more like, okay, you know, just kind of go through the motions, nothing really to change too much, I would assume. But your first workout, how is it that you go about saying, okay, I got to increase the time under tension or increase the weights? Is it just when you don't feel the same tug, or how does it work kind of for you?
Yeah, so when you're doing that, a lot of it's fatigue on the suspensory ligament. And if I don't feel I'm getting the fatigue on the suspensory ligament, then I'll look at upping the weight, and I never up the weight by a huge amount. It's only very, very small increments, because as soon as you up the weight, again, there's that chance of blistering. You need to get conditioned at every weight. And once you've got a blister, you're out for 2 weeks. And unfortunately, I did actually get a bit of a heat blister. The far infrared USB mat that I was using, it was a bit too hot. Yeah. And this was sort of early stages, and I got a real tiny heat blister, which it was on my glands and it stripped. And I had to work through that. And that was, yeah, putting tape on, that was pretty painful. But no pain, no gain, as they say. Not that I'm ever recommending that to anybody. But if you want to achieve, I mean, I always think back to David Goggins when he ran on a broken foot. It's like, if that guy can run on a broken foot, then a millimeter square on my penis glands that's lost a bit of skin, I'm sure I can work through that. So it's a mindset. Obviously, I wouldn't ever say, you know, if you snap your suspensory ligament, then that's maybe time to give it a break. But,
I'd say so.
Yeah, I have a rest for a bit, maybe go see the doctor. But just increasing the weight, small increases. So I do 0.25 kilograms, which is just over half a pound. If I'm going to increase the weight, it's only ever by that. And it's that for the whole session. So let's say I start at 3, and the day prior I was doing 3, 4, 5, 6, it would be 3.25, 4.25. You know, I wouldn't keep increasing by 0.25 every 15 minutes. It would just be once, and I'll maybe keep that going for maybe 30 days, maybe a month. Yeah. Because once you get that blister, it's pretty much going to stop you in your tracks. So it's just small increments. And you could say, oh, well, you could have gone up in 15 days, or you could have gone up in a week. But I'd rather not take that chance. Just slow and steady, I think we'll win this race. And I'm getting results, so I'm happy. And the results could be faster, the results could be slower. Once I've got this, put this routine together, and it's like a foolproof routine, anybody starting PE can go into this routine and know that if you stick to this routine, you are consistent with it, you'll get gains. And there's the proof. You know, it's on Twitter. There's the proof. You can do it.
Well, the proof is in the pudding. I mean, the proof is there. It's just kind of like, because I mean, and I know you're big into the gym as well. But you know, we could all give a million different guys, you know, the same workout program, and I think out of the million dudes, maybe 5% of them are going to follow through and actually do the whole thing, right? And that's kind of where the difference kind of comes in with the consistency and actually following through on the workout program that you designed. And I think that's what's crucial. It's kind of like, hey man, PE is possible. And as far as anybody that's hating or says that, oh, you know, it's not possible, you know, blah blah blah, it's kind of like, well, the proof is literally there. Now the question becomes, because I've had some people online like question me, like, oh man, you know, this is all bullshit, you're lying, blah blah blah. And I'm like, have you ever tried PE before? And they're like, no. Then I'm like, well, why are you talking then? Like, you haven't done it, but you're gonna dismiss it because you think it's bullshit, right? And to me, it's kind of like, in your case, you're showcasing it in real time, right? There's no denying it. It's kind of like when you're actually seeing the growth in front of you every single day, the consistency, all the different factors that play into somebody being successful, right? It's kind of like you can't really deny it at this point. And I think that's what's so important about what you're doing it is that in real time, we're seeing the changes, you know, we're seeing the progress. And to your point too, it's kind of like you've modified your program, and I guess everybody's got to do a program that's best suited for them. But I find the other thing that I find, you know, that I think makes a lot of sense is that you're moving at a pace that makes sense for you. And the number one thing that I think everybody should be paying attention to is the injury prevention side of things. Because too many guys jump into it and they're like, oh, I'm going to hang like 20 pounds. Then I'm going to be like, oh, I strained something in my PC muscle and I don't know what's happening. You know, it's like you could have avoided that if you went at a slower pace. But I think what you're doing and the way you're doing it, you know, you're really showcasing safety as well, which I think is huge because too many guys, you know, go into it and kind of go gung ho and they sprint when it's a marathon.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the brilliant thing about the hanging with fire as well. That was on Thunder's Place, by the way. There's a document on Thunder's Place, and that's somebody actually pointed me in that direction. Once I'd invented and made this hanger, they said, "Oh, well, take a look at this for a good routine." And the good thing about it, the two those two guys, I can't remember the names, but they devised this routine, and they were quite scientific about the way they went about it, very methodical. And the way it works is that you don't actually have to hang that much weight. Sort of like 8 pounds is the maximum on the final cold hang that you would ever need to hang. You will always achieve fatigue. And if you achieve fatigue, you're done. Apply your all day stretcher, and that's your session done. You don't need to hang anything more than that. Like I say, I'm still at a maximum of six. I will get to the eight eventually, you know, over the next 2, 3 months, perhaps, depending on how I feel. But 8 pounds isn't a great deal to hang, you know, especially when there's people on the internet hanging
No.
crazy weights like 40 pounds, 50 pounds.
Seen
And
it.
I mean, that is a crazy amount of weight to hang. And, you know, if it works for that individual, fair enough. But people seeing that might watch it and go, right, oh well, I'm gonna go hang 50 pounds and I'll have 2 inches in a month. You know, it is dangerous. You've got to work your way up, whether you use compression hanger or a back hanger. Back hangers can generally not take as much weight, because of the glands and the damage that you can cause to your glands. But equally, compression hangers have the same or have other issues with the clamping side of things, cutting off your blood flow, only being able to do 20-minute sets and having rests in between. I have done both. I did use a male hanger and a good bit of kit, but I couldn't get into the clamping of the penis, no matter what I did. I just couldn't get along with it. So yeah, whichever route you go down, safety's number one. Absolute
paramount.
Number one.
Yeah. But I mean, to your point, that's another thing that I think is very, very important as well. It's like you said, it didn't agree with you, right? Or when it comes to compression hanging. And I think that's an important thing to take note of for anybody that's starting PE. It's like, sometimes you got to try different modalities to know what's the best for you, right? Like for me, I tried like the ADS back in the day with like the old school, like really shitty extender, and man, it was awful. And then I switched to the VLC tugger and I'm like, I could do this all day. Right. And it just kind of comes down to, okay, what's the most comfortable for you? Because for me, I think it's exactly the same as the gym. It's kind of like, what is the workout or what is the exercise or what is the modality that you find most comfortable? And do you find it that it's something that really doesn't interrupt your day-to-day life and it's something that, you know, you can really see yourself doing for a prolonged period of time and consistently? That's probably going to be the best modality for you because it's going to lead to adherence. That adherence then leads to the consistency, which will lead to the success that you will find in PE if you stick to it long enough, right? But sometimes a lot of people will find a square peg and try to put it into a round hole and just be like, hey, you know what? Maybe if you try something different, it could work out a lot better for you, right? It's like you don't have to do, you know, an extender if that's what you rent on the internet and you're like, well, it worked for this guy, it's going to work for me. It's kind of like, again, in the gym, it's like everybody says that, you know, you should do barbells and dumbbells, but you're getting really good results from the machines. It's like, well, why not stick to the machines and maybe you can implement in the future. You know, it's almost like having that flexibility and really getting to explore your body more. I think that exploration side of PE is important.
Yeah, 100%. Couldn't agree with you more. You've got to enjoy what you're doing. You know, this is your free time. This is a time that you're spending on yourself outside of work, outside of your family, friends and family. This is time you're spending on you. Yeah. How much of a drag do you want that to be? You know, the biggest drag of that should be the starting. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you've got that phrase in your head that gives you a kick up the backside and says, right, yeah, just get on with it, that should be the worst part, the starting. But the actual doing, you should find enjoyment out of that. Like I said, that's why I threw some arm curls into the routine. I threw some shrugs into the routine. It's sort of jaws aside, it's like I may as well do something in this mm-hmm. hour that I've got weights hanging off my dick. I may as well make something else in my life a bit better. Yeah. And you know, or utilize that time effectively.
100%.
You know, and you have to enjoy it. You have to enjoy it. You're working on yourself, so enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I think that's a big key or something that's probably not talked about enough is that, you know, when you're hanging there, it's kind of like, you know, I've talked to Rob from P-Hanger too, and he's just like, well, you're just kind of standing there, so you might as well do something effective. You know, it's like get a standing desk or do some curls or use the jaws size, do something where you can kind of get your mind, you know, focus on something beyond just the hang. Because if you're just standing there like just focusing on the stretch, I'm pretty sure it's gonna, you know, it's a pretty mundane task to do. But if you find a way to distract yourself or you work on something or you do the curls, like I think that's, I might have to steal that, man. Do some, you know, lateral raises in the future when I start hanging. But I think that makes perfect sense because you're right. It's involving other things that can help you to be successful while you're enjoying, you know, the benefits of the hang itself. And then you mentioned that you did the ADS after. How long do you use the ADS for again?
2 to 3 hours. Okay. Usually it's, you know, I get a shower in the morning, I'll go to the toilet in the morning first thing, and then you're really governed by, you know, when's your next toilet break. So usually that's 2 to 3 hours after I've applied it. So I usually apply around 7 o'clock, so I can last up till about 10 o'clock, and then that's it needs to come off.
Which makes sense because, I mean, I wouldn't want to pee with that thing on. It's like, I remember even seeing some of the, oh gosh, man, it was like the pamphlet that came with it. I forgot which, it was a VLC tugger. It's like, please take off when urinating. It's like, you would think that was just common sense, but it's not. And the other thing I was going to ask you too, so before you go to sleep, you do the pump jelk for maintenance. What's your take on jelking? Because I myself, like I mentioned before, like I'm still big on jelking. I think if you do it appropriately, Like, I've heard a lot of people online now having this debate that it's super dangerous. And I just kind of wanted to get your take on it. Because like I said before, it got me started on my PE journey. It helped out. I find it beneficial. I still do it. You know, what's your take on, you know, some of this new era or some of the new age of PEers or kind of like their take on gelking?
Yeah, I think it's the same as anything. If you're going to overdo it, then you, the chance of injury, you are going to get injured. I remember when I first started back in 2018, I was doing manuals and gelking. That's all I did for the first 3 months before I realized that, you know, I can optimize my gains if I add an all-day stretcher into the mix. And I actually bought the VLC Tugger as well, which is a very comfortable device. I was really pleased with it. You know, you send your pictures off, send your measurements, and 3 weeks later, you've got the Tugger. And I did continue to gain once I purchased that. But gelking for the first, I'd say 9 months was key to my routine. You know, I started hanging after about 9 months, but for the first 9 months, I was on a 2 days on, 1 day off, and it was in every routine. When I originally started, I did get some red spots on my glands, which a bit of research on the internet was, oh, you're doing it too hard. You know, you just relax your grip, handle like eggs. You know, all those sorts of words that are out there on the internet, and you know, you start to do that, and everything's absolutely fine. I'd always say that gelking's quite important. Like I said, 2022, I tried just doing purely a hanging ADS routine, and it didn't work out. After about 5 months, I started to see issues with girth. So I'd say definitely gelking's important, and something that I've said to people, and they're not always on board with, and you know, I kind of understand the fours and against, but because you're handling your penis a lot, and you're doing a lot with your glands, you know, when you've got devices or you're gelking or you're stretching, you do desensitize your glands, and you say that to people, and they go, "Oh, what, you desensitize your glands?" You're like, "Well, yeah, it happens. I mean, you don't do any PE routine for a month and they'll go back to how they were." But they see that as a bad point. But actually desensitizing your glands, for me, it allows me to go longer in the bedroom.
Yeah.
No. So that's a massive plus. You know, before I started doing the gelking, I was I'll admit it, I was a 3 minute man. Whereas now I can go as long as I want, pretty much, you know, within reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I can decide when it's time. And for me, hair pleasure is important. So making sure that she's had enough pleasure out of our session is important. And then I'll decide when I want to finish.
Yeah.
And that is a good thing about gelking, about stretch, doing the manuals. You do desensitize the glands, which allows you to go for longer. And like I say, for that year that I missed out, so all of 2023, well, majority of 2023, back end of 2022, everything that side went back to normal. And I noticed that I was having sex, and I was ejaculating pretty quick. To the point where I was like, "Oh, I'll stop. Let's change position. Let's procrastinate and try and save a bit of time so that I'm not done." Which does actually. Are you finished on that part?
Huh?
On that topic?
Oh no! I mean, yeah, I love it. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, I'm just listening. I'm loving it, man. Yeah. No, I think it makes sense. I was just gonna jump in and say the same thing, man. I agree with you.
Yeah, I was sorry, I was gonna jump onto retaining, something that I've started doing. I've not been ejaculating as much. So I mean, me and my partner, we usually have sex every day. You know, unless something really bad's happened, you know, it's sex, we've got a really good sex life, a really good healthy relationship. And one thing I noticed was that I was always quite tired from sex, groggy in the morning. And one of my friends said, you know, have you thought about retaining? He's quite big into it.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I don't know. I'll try it. If you're saying it's good, and you know, I asked what were the benefits of it. And it was like, you know, you got stronger erections, you're not as lethargic, sharper, less brain fog, you've got less chance of having a vitamin and mineral deficiency. So I gave it a shot. I thought, well, instead of ejaculating 365 days a year, I'll just try and reduce it to once a week. So 52 times a year. So it's a drastic decrease in the ejaculations over the year, and it's been absolutely amazing. I couldn't recommend it enough. You know, I'm 38 now, nearly 39, and I am starting to notice that that, you know, age is catching up with me. But since I've started doing this, I'm back to being a 21-year-old. I'm horny all the time. I'm not lethargic, no brain fog, and I just feel good all the time. So I definitely recommend that to anybody.
100%
is retaining.
Or
at least trying it.
Yeah, like give it a shot for 30 days, right?
Yeah, definitely. And you know, there's so many analogies out there, and there's a lot of arguments on the internet about the vitamin and mineral deficiency, and them saying, well, sperm actually only accounts for this many vitamins and minerals, so it doesn't really make a difference. Then there's other people saying, well, it's the energy to make it, the doing and replenishing, the synthesis, and you know, filling back up. You want to fill your car. The car doesn't just fill itself. You've got to take it somewhere and get out and fill it. And that's kind of is right. It does take up a lot of vitamins and minerals. So I think that's worth trying
100%.
For those benefits that I've mentioned.
Yeah, and I mean, it's interesting too, because in Taoism they actually talk about that a man shouldn't be releasing his seed the whole time. And I think it was Think and Grow Rich and some other places where they talk about sex transmutation, how you can actually take that energy and you can use it for something else. It's kind of like you can internalize it. And by not releasing your seed constantly, you know, that energy, that life force, that chi or whatever, it can actually be transmuted to other things, and it will give you more energy and energize you for other things. And I think that's like for myself, like I mentioned before on the show, like when I started PE, it would just be a really long edge session, and then boom, you know, I would just explode and let it all out, you know. And I'm like, and I just felt completely depleted. And I'm not of the belief that, you know, like a lot of people talk about how you got to release like 4 or 5 times. I'm like, I think, you know, you should probably regulate that a little bit more, because the older you get, you do kind of get more tired, a little bit more lethargic, right? And in practicing retention, like I feel like it does have a lot of positive like connections. And for me, when I stopped doing, you know, edging and just constantly just kind of blowing, you know, blowing the load, so to speak, I found that my next PE sessions were always more intense and everything was harder. However, I did feel like the pressure from the buildup was like almost unbearable. But you know, I found that I'm like, okay, well, I got to regulate a little bit better so that, you know, I can get the sessions in. Erectile quality goes up, you know. And honestly, every single session was always better when I learned how to regulate it and kind of control this energy. Cause it's like, hey man, it's like life force energy, bro. You can't just be releasing that all the time, or, you know, not expecting to harness that power without a little bit of kickback, you know? And then over time, as you get older though, and you get more comfortable in your own skin, I do find that it's easier to do. And I find that the pros far outweigh the cons, in my opinion. And I think that if this theory, or if this belief or this idea has been, you know, held in pretty high esteem by some of the greatest people on earth for a long time, there's probably something to it.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to try these things. You can't ever shut anything down. You've got to leave no stone unturned. Mm-hmm. Figure it out for yourself. You know, if there's a lot of noise about something, then do some investigation, do some research, and mm-hmm. you know, once you've done that, potentially try it. And see what happens. You know, what's the worst thing that can happen? That's what I always think. I think it's always worth doing. Yeah,
Yeah,
definitely.
I agree with you too, because it's like sometimes I think too many people get hung up on a study, or they'll see something like, well, the science doesn't say this and the science doesn't say that. I'm like, well, it depends. I'm like, who's sponsoring the science? Nescafe? If they are, they're gonna be like, coffee's good for you. The next week, Tet Lee, the tea company, comes out with coffee is shit. So sometimes you got to disregard some studies, and kind of be like, all right, well, why don't I do some exploration on myself? And if it's nothing that's too intense, or it's something where you can use your own, just use your own mind, like use your own thoughts and kind of come up with these ideas and then see if you can exercise these theories kind of the way that you are right now. It's like, it's not like you're going all balls to the wall right from the get-go. You have a system that you developed. There was experimentation. I think that's what led you to creating this. And I think it's a beautiful experiment that we're seeing in real time, but it's not something that you just kind of like pulled out of nowhere and said, all right, I'm going to implement this with like no background whatsoever. And I'm going to practice retention too. I think there's always that thought behind why we do what we do, or why we experiment with the things that we want to experiment on, because it's like, why not? And I think that PE is a perfect example of that. And I think what you're doing is just, like we're witnessing it in real time. It's almost like your own lab rat, but you're proving that it can be done. And I think that combined with the retention, man, like, before we take off today, because it's about like 10 minutes left, like, is there anything else in the works? Because I mean, retention, that's the one thing I didn't know that you were doing, and along with like the hanging, your routine and all that, which is pretty sick to get into and that. But like, what's next for you, Daniel? What are you thinking about? Just concentrating on making the gains, or is there anything you want to implement next? Like, what does it look like for you?
I mean, one thing that I do spend a lot of time on. I spend a lot of time in the kitchen with my girlfriend. So about was it 2022, start of 2022, we decided we was going to stop eating meat to see what the benefits were. There was a lot of noise around that time about meat, how bad it is for you. The corn fed or the cereal fed stuff. So we said, right, we'll try it. And we did continue to eat fish, but not often, maybe every 3, 4 weeks, we'd maybe have fish and chips. But we decided to stop eating the meat, and we also stopped dairy as well, and we stopped eating eggs. And then after a year, I was still a good weight. I was still at like 92 kilos. I'm 6 foot tall, I was 92 kilos. I was still feeling good, so it kind of proved that you don't need meat in your diet to stay at a certain weight to be healthy. One thing we did really miss was certain meals that we missed, and so we went on like a plant-based diet, and we eventually put eggs back in and cheese, and I
I
started
love
doing like
cheese.
quite I started doing like a bit of research with eggs. Again, a food that is quite demonized for its cholesterol, and I can't remember what program it was on Netflix said it's like smoking five
Game changers, I think.
cigarettes was a
Yeah.
game was a
I
game
think so,
changers,
yeah.
because we watched all those game changers, What the Health, Cowspiracy
Yeah.
and Seaspiracy, which does kind of change mind. But we said, well, we're not going to say we're vegan, we're not going to put a label on it, we'll just do this diet plan and see what happens. And that first year we enjoyed it, and then we continued to do more research and more research. And I'll go through my diet plan actually,
Nice, nice, yeah.
just so that I'm not waffling. So I have 4 meals a day. I only eat over an 8 hour period, so I do the 16-8 fasting.
Nice.
I do a prolonged fast once a month. Well, not quite once a month, 13 times a year when it's a full moon. Just
What is that?
seeing if that works. There's a lot about, is it your oh, I want to say your circadian rhythm. Is that
Circadian rhythm.
correct?
Yeah.
Circadian, that's the one.
Yeah.
I thought it might have an S in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all to do with that. So we said we'll give it a go. But we haven't been doing it long enough for us to say anything, concrete. But it's just like a prolonged fast, 72 hours. We do 48 hours just on water, and then a further 24 doing like a fruit juice fast.
Nice.
And that's again, it's just something to try. Does it work? Do you feel better after it? And we'll come to a conclusion once we've done that for a year. we're going to try it for a year anyway. So I don't start eating until midday, 12 noon, and I finish at 8. I have 6 eggs, sweet potatoes, garlic, nice. Onions, avocado. That's my breakfast. Then in the afternoon, I'll have a fruit platter, kiwi, dates, pineapple, watermelon or honeydew melon. For our evening meal, it's usually lentils, beans, nut roast, veg, stir fry, something along those lines. Definitely no meat. And then before I go to bed, 6 egg omelet.
Interesting.
And it's trying to get the eggs in. We've actually bought chickens. We've got nice. 14 chickens. Yeah, pasture raised. We feed them organic feed, and the eggs that we get off them are like nothing else. And we want to see what we'll probably go more into the science next time, but we've done a reasonable amount of research on that, and now let's see what the outcome is. Mm-hmm. And so far, you mentioned about my abdominals.
Sure.
I mean that's we shower everything in Celtic salt as well. We stay away from anything processed. Refined oils, refined sugar, refined table salt. We don't have any of that. We only drink filtered water. We bought a reverse osmosis filter. We only drink from that. It's got remineralizer as well. I think it was only about £300. And then we've got those new hydrogen bottles that you get.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
For the hydrogen water. So we fill those up and have those. And off that diet, I feel the best I've ever felt. Honestly, that is my diet, and I've never felt so good. You know, whether it's placebo effect, you know, I don't know. One thing I did stumble across the other day, which I thought was really interesting, was people saying it was. I think it might have been Health on Amazon Prime, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But basically, if you tell yourself that you are in good health, you'll be in good health. Yep. You know, the power of the mind.
Power of the mind, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I'd never rule that out, because I do always say to myself, I'm healthy. I've got plenty of energy. I'm eating all the right foods. I'm always telling myself that, you know, I've got a lot of courage in my convictions, that side mm-hmm. of things. So I would never rule placebo out. But this diet, I've never felt so good on it. And is it because you're just doing something? Is it mm-hmm. because you're just making an effort that your mind, and you're telling your mind's telling you, yep, everything's great. So then you feel great. So, that's my diet.
I mean, it's funny because you mentioned the eggs, and that reminds me of, I think his name was Mike Gironda or something Gironda, where he actually stole the idea from what hospitals used to do back in the early 1900s. And what the hospitals would do is feed people an excessive amount of eggs, because they found that eggs had the healing qualities to really help burn victims, right? And help them recover faster. And then what Gironda did is that he found out, he's like, well, if it works for that, it probably works for bodybuilding, because it promoted anabolism, I think. And that's kind of where, you know, that's why a lot of the anabolic steroids that you see are created for burn victims originally. And then obviously, you know, bodybuilders, you know, they see it and they're like, oh, perfect. You know, this is really going to get my muscles growing. But it's interesting that you made that connection, and then now you're incorporating into your diet, and it's still a part of what you're doing. And it's kind of, I think, again, this just speaks to your mindset, where it's like, you're willing to try these things. And I don't think, because I'm kind of against people that are zealots whenever it comes to anything in life at this point. Like, if you're a zealot about veganism or carnivore or this or that, I'm like, I don't want to hear it, because I don't really know if your opinion's valid anymore. Because I kind of feel like now these people just kind of belong to a cult. Your approach makes a lot more sense for me, because, you know, you eliminated some things, but then you're like, hey, you know what, maybe I'll have some fish if you do throw it in or whatever. And you also incorporated eggs, right? So I think this is very interesting. And hey, you know what, if it feels good and you're doing it, then why stop?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you look at Jordan Peterson and his mm-hmm. daughter, they're advocates of the carnivore diet. Mm-hmm. Now, I would never hold anything against them. If that's what they believe and they're getting good results off that, then, you know, go for it.
Yeah.
And whatever you're getting good results off, just try it, and mm-hmm. try not to put a label on things. You know, I think it's important not to want to label everything. Just try it, do it. If you get a good response, then do it. If you need to, if you don't, try something else. Try something else. Find something that suits you. Yeah. Same in the PE world. Find something, a routine that suits you. My routine might not work for everybody. They might say, "Oh well, I changed this or I adjusted this." But yeah. It's a start. Find a starting point. Try it. See where you get to. If you don't like it, change it.
Yeah, dude. 100%, man. Perfect way to pretty much, I mean, end the podcast today, because I know I could keep you for like 3 hours, Daniel, but I imagine you got things to do. But you're 100% right, and I agree with your philosophy, man. And that's why I commend you for the work you're doing. And again, all the links are always going to be in the description. Again, check out at Jelic2Gain at Twitter. Well, X now, but, you know, and be sure to check out Jelic2Gain.com as well. And Daniel, you're still stocked up? You're selling all your hangers and stuff?
Yeah. So I've got the hangers, all the stretcher. I sell all the spare parts. And it's going pretty well.
Nice, nice. And again, I mean, I always have the link in the description, so be sure to check it out from there. I mean, that's been there for every episode, I think, since I've done with you. So be sure, again, to click that link, guys. Check out Jelic2Gain. And again, I mean, first of all, we got to say thank you for what you designed and what you brought to the market, because I think, legit, it's probably one of the most spectacular hangers out there, you know. So first and foremost with that, and second of all, thank you for inspiring us, man, because like I said, man, there's days where I'm like, I don't really want to do it today, and then I look at your Twitter, I'm like, fuck, man, all right, fine, you know, like I'll do my workout, because I'm like, this guy's on like 107 days and I'm here like, I gotta do it 3 times a week, you know. I'm just doing my maintenance routine right now. But again, so I really commend you for the work you're doing, man. I'm excited to see your results, and you know, we're definitely going to have you on sooner than later. And we just got to talk some more about this stuff, because when it comes to PE and a brilliant mind like yours, when it comes to the approach, how you design things, how you do things, man, it's always a pleasure. And again, you're always welcome to come on, bro.
Excellent. No, I really appreciate that. I mean, you're a great advocate for health and penis enlargement. Your podcast is brilliant. And I think you're doing a fantastic job for the community, for getting people started, for people worrying about do I start, what do I do, you know. You're the guy to come to, you're the guy to listen to on Spotify, and you point people in the right direction. You're non-biased, you've got a fantastic attitude, and long may it continue.
Thank you, man. Thank you. You know, I just try to stay neutral with it, you know. And I like, I mean, the beauty of it is that I get to talk to guys like you that are way smarter in your approach. So I'm like, okay, tell me more, you know, and I can always just apply it to what I'm doing, man. So again, I thank you, and I look forward to our next conversation, Daniel.
Excellent. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks. And we'll see you guys in the next episode.